The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code TCESGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And it is showtime here back on the College Baseball Experience. What's going on, everybody? It's Noah Bienick, a.k.a. 77, back here with the first midweek picks episode of the season. Hey, DraftKings and I'm adding on social media, basically every sports book you put out odds early, us people can make content then promoting your product, this game, college baseball, whatever sport in general, put out overnight lines. We have an easier way of making content. So I've looked at every game that has been offered by DraftKings so far. Shout out to them as I'm ranting a little bit. They are the ones that consistently originate numbers in the college baseball betting market. Everywhere else basically takes their lines and will also just take another 5 cents when they offer this stuff. So, I mean, it's a load of crap, but DraftKings does it best, in my opinion. Going over the weekend real quick, your boy was at the NFL draft basically the entire weekend in downtown Detroit, helping set a record for attendance, which was nuts. We did, however, if anybody was paying attention in the preseason to the College Baseball Experience or had kept an eye on the SEC preseason win total market over there on Bet Rivers, we cashed our second most confident play in the preseason for SEC win totals. The Georgia Bulldogs over 9.5 wins, cashed with 3 weekends to go, 9 more games to go. They've already reached their win total. We've got 3 more coming. We're in favorable positions on all 3 of those. The Vanderbilt Mississippi State game was an absolute sweat for me because I have the Vanderbilt under, and I was also on the Bulldogs on that Sunday. I did not only play the Bulldogs because of that angle that I have on Vandy. They had the starting pitching matchup easy, and they were +150 on the day. So I was like, I can hit 2 birds with 1 stone, hopefully. And it turned into a huge sweat. Hunter Hines with 2 outs goes deep for the Bulldogs, and they win that game. Hail State. Thank the Lord. And we're now in a favorable position with Vanderbilt for sure, as they have to win 7 games in the last 9. So they have to go 7-2, and they're playing all 3 series are against top 25 teams. What's up, YouTube chat? It's a live YouTube chat at 12:15 a.m. Eastern time. This is being recorded overnight. So, I mean, technically morning, 12:15 a.m. James Roberts says, was hoping for a midweek episode. Let's go. David Matola said, how many beers did you consume at the draft? Over under 9.5. They were tall ones too. They were the, I don't know what you want to, whatever ounces they were. I don't even know, but $15 a pop. It adds up quick. The Clark Edge goes, miss you, kid. I forgot you did this. Thanks for the college basketball info. You are a real one. I appreciate it, Clark. Yeah, college baseball is actually, I'm even better at college baseball than college basketball, only because it's a really niche, really small market, and nobody's willing to put the work in to get the edge. And College Baseball Experience is one of like 3 or 4 shows out there that I know that does it. So I'm hammering out a niche, and shout out to everybody that's listening to this show and has listened all season long. So Let's dive in. Handicapping midweeks it's a completely different college baseball game than handicapping a weekend game, mainly because half the teams don't take the midweek seriously. They'll just throw six or seven different pitchers, say, hey, go throw your 25 pitches. This is your bullpen for the week type approach. Some teams, it means more to them because a win would help their RPI a lot more than the other team's case. So, like, there'll be a couple of them that we mention on this show. But just a win means a hell of a lot more to one program than it does the other. So they're more likely to throw the kitchen sink than the other team. But also, just the starting pitcher doesn't really matter because, like I said, it's the fourth or sometimes fifth best arm on these teams. And they don't dictate the games as much as the offenses do. So it's an easier handicap, but there's just a bunch of chaos because the pitching for both sides is not nearly as good as it would be if they were playing on a weekend, if that makes sense. Hopefully it does. Really kind of evens the playing field between high major and low major during the midweek with if they don't have pitching depth. So that creates some fun upsets. You see plenty of upsets in the midweek. But my basic attack on it is I handicap the offenses. And this year, Friday Starters is the website. They've been putting out just a bulk ERA number for pitching on the midweek. I prefer that rather than going to find one pitcher that's only going to throw 30 pitches and then trying to piece together a handicap with six or seven different pitchers in that game versus the other team's six or seven different pitchers. Just give me one number that I can look at. And hey, the starting pitchers for 90% of these teams haven't been announced yet. They will do that typically like 15 minutes before first pitch tomorrow. So just give me a number that I can use loosely and I'm happy. And Friday Starters has done a great job at being the source for that. All right, so let's jump into this a little bit here. First game on Tuesday that is bettable. There are plenty of games in D1 baseball tomorrow that are not being offered betting odds-wise. However, at 4 p.m. Eastern, you'll see Kent State at Michigan. Michigan is minus 195 here against the Golden Flashes, who are plus 150. That immediately is just an absurd number for me. Three things that I quick handicaps for all of these. I'm going to try to keep this show around 30 minutes for all of you guys who are working and doing other stuff during the midweek here. So I'll be listing a couple stats, whether I'm playing it, whether I'm not. I'm not playing a ton. I don't normally overexpose myself during the midweeks. Like I said, there's a ton of chaos. But Michigan, 807 team OPS, 98 WRC plus, 647 midweek ERA as a team. Kent State, a little bit better offensively, 866 team OPS, 109 WRC plus, 646 midweek ERA. Michigan's a little banged up on the mound too. To my understanding, they didn't throw Mitch Voigt, or didn't start Mitch Voigt last weekend. He had been dealing with some soreness / sickness the weekend that I was there when they were playing Ohio State. I think they're not going to pitch him here. It wouldn't make any sense with Michigan State on deck. So Michigan's best pitcher is not throwing here just because he didn't throw over the weekend. So throw that possibility out the window. The only issue with taking Kent State here, the plus money is great. They are 10-16 on the road, though. Michigan at Ray Fisher Stadium, 16-11 this year. So I think the juice is too much to squeeze, if that's the saying. I don't know. It's not worth the squeeze for Michigan minus 195. I would not play that. And Kent State, I'm not ballsy enough to do it. Losing record on the road, not exponentially better by any means than Michigan is with the bats. So that one, we're going to stay off. Next one here, Florida, the anomaly that the Gators are this season. They are minus 298 against Florida Atlantic. All right. Florida Atlantic's offense is anemic, though. They're plus 220. They have a 760 team OPS, 88 WRC plus. Their pitching is the calling card of the team. 569 midweek ERA, which is by no means good. And they're 5-11 on the road. So, again, I think Florida wins the ball game. There's no way in hell I'm playing minus 298 because they've been dropping midweek games to smaller programs left and right this season. But I think Florida's offense is going to be able to get the job done. 898 team OPS, 112 WRC plus. The issue is that they don't really have many roles figured out in that pen right now, especially in the midweek. They just don't have the depth. 724 midweek ERA. They are 15-10 at home, but a couple of those 10 losses have been during the midweek. So another game that I'm not going to have any action on there. Before we get to the bulk of the slate here, NHL playoffs are going on right now. Make sure you tune in to the Hockey Gambling Podcast. Also, the NBA playoffs are going on right now. So the NBA Gambling Podcast, those two shows have you locked in for all the exciting playoff action here in the month of May. And then also it's Kentucky Derby week. I know our demographic, all the Southern college baseball fans, they'll like the horse racing. So tune in the Sports Gambling Podcast this week. The guys will get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Also, at Of Oakland, so OF Oakland, Chase Sessoms does a great job covering horse racing, works with us at SGPN. Also, my buddy Malcolm Bamford on the MLB Gambling Podcast. Yes, he's British, so the accent is outstanding, but you get a non-biased opinion on horse racing, and he's been doing it for a long-ass time, and he's doing it pretty well. So those are the two horse racing guys that I go to as well as SGP. So, yeah, I'm fired up for the Kentucky Derby. Always tune in for the 2 minutes. I mean, it's great. I mean, there's nothing better than the first Saturday in May turning on the Kentucky Derby. Let's jump back to the college baseball slate, though. With a 5 o'clock Eastern start, UNC Wilmington at NC State here. The Wolfpack -215 against the Seahawks, +165. This is going to be a play for me. So NC State is another team that is very, very hot and cold. And UNCW needs this game. Like, this is a game that builds resume for a team that's on the bubble. And the Seahawks are squarely on that bubble right now. 839 team OPS, 102 WRC plus. Both these offenses are very similar. NC State, 863 OPS, 107 WRC plus. The difference is the pitching staffs are, you know, night and day. UNC Wilmington is not in the ACC with all the other great offenses. However, the CAA has been up this year and last year. And they've got it's not great, but they've got a 5.93 midweek ERA. But compare that to NC State's 8.58. I'll take the large price with the Seahawks. And that's my first bet for this Tuesday. The next game here that we'll talk about real quick is another crazy game odds wise. Georgia's -250 at Kennesaw State, +190. It's a matchup of styles, as Kennesaw State in the in conference play, great pitching. However, midweek, not so great. 6-16. They're better on the mound than they are at the plate. At the plate, they're about an average offense in college baseball. 100 WRC plus is exactly on the button of average for the 300 and some teams in college baseball. Kennesaw State, 815 team OPS. Georgia, 1032, 138 WRC plus. This is a team that's playing for a host, basically a top 16 seed nationally. I think Georgia should win this game, but they themselves are only 6-9 on the road, so not great. But I don't think that Kennesaw's offense will be able to match the Bulldogs' pack for a punch. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs there. And again, for everybody listening to this show, we have a free college baseball picks page that you can view over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/collegebaseballpicks. Easy enough. If you go to the homepage of the website, scroll under the MLB tab to the college baseball picks link, and then it'll just redirect you to our page on our website. Also, if you look up college baseball picks on Google. We're like one of the first links that pop up. So do that if you're too lazy to go to our website. The next game on the slate here, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern start, Cincinnati at Ohio State. The Buckeyes are minus 145. The Bearcats are plus 114. Cincy's really coming on as of late. My guy Jordan Bischel, who is the former head coach at Central Michigan, his first year at Cincinnati this year, and they're stringing together some wins. They've been good recently. Ohio State at home, 8-6. Cincy on the road, 8-12. This is a game that Cincy would get up, though, for a big brother matchup. Cincy, 832 team OPS, 104 WRC+. The offenses really aren't too much different. Ohio State, 849 team OPS, 107 WRC+. But the difference here is that Cincy's been able to, you know, mix and match with the pen a little bit better on the midweek games. 548 team ERA for midweek games for Cincinnati this season. Ohio State, just an 820. And I saw that team in person. Outside of their top three arms, there really isn't much there. So I like Cincy here at plus money in that game. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. This one's a 3 o'clock first pitch Pacific, though. The biggest just stumper in like wrong pricing that there could be for today is UCLA at Pepperdine. Pepperdine is plus 180, UCLA minus 238. And UCLA is just having a disaster, dumpster fire type of year this year. They're 2-15 on the road. Pepperdine is not good. However, this is one where, again, they're going to be more motivated than UCLA is to play against UCLA because, I mean, this is the game that you circle on your calendar at the beginning of the year if you're a team like Pepperdine. So, again, the Bruins 2-15 on the road. I'll take my chances with the plus 180 on the tide, on the waves. Sorry. Next game here is Charlotte at North Carolina. This is going to be a parlay piece for myself. North Carolina is just too large of a price to play single. They're minus 360 here at home. Charlotte plus 260. However, North Carolina just lost their first ACC home game on Sunday against Virginia Tech. I think they bounce back, and I think they win here. Their offense is just much more powerful than Charlotte is. UNC at home at Beauchemin Stadium this year is 25-3. Charlotte 5-11 on the road. So the Tar Heels are going to be a parlay piece for me at the end of the show. The next matchup is going to be the matchup that I'm tuning in for, the Backyard Brawl. This is being played at PNC Park. I got this one circled for today. Unfortunately, I was not able to get out there for the game. I would have loved to have gone, just could not make it work. So the this is a 7 o'clock start in Pittsburgh. But then again, like I've been to this game plenty of times. There's no home fan advantage here. It's just a short hike for West Virginia. Both foul lines are filled with fans. It's a fun atmosphere in a big league park that is one of the most underrated MLB parks out there. In my opinion, it's my favorite skyline that there is in the MLB. I've had the pleasure of going to many games there. West Virginia, I don't know how they've done it. They've only played 6 midweek games so far this season, but they have not really given up runs in the midweek this season. 194 team ERA in the midweek, Pitt 512. So there's a large difference there. The offenses are pretty similar. The Mountaineers, 832 team OPS, 101 WRC+. Pitt, 846 OPS, 107 WRC+. So very even game, in my opinion, because I'm not buying the West Virginia pitching number. They've been a train wreck outside of their top four in their staff. So for me, I am going to go with West Virginia because I think this is a game that they've had circled. Both fan bases and teams have had this game circled. No shit. But it's Randy Mazey's last year as the head coach at West Virginia. He's going to want to go out on a high note in this series against Pitt in the backyard brawl. He's going to want to win the series. So this is one of the two games that they're playing this season. I think the other game that they play this year is going to be at Pitt on Pitt's campus. For some reason, they're not doing three. They usually do 1-1 at home and then one at PNC. From what I saw, though, I think it's Pitt, and there's just two games this year. But I think West Virginia is going to win this one. I'll take them at the minus 160 price compared to Pitt at plus 124. The next one here is also going to be a fun one. Nebraska at Creighton. And, of course, Creighton plays at the Chuck, a.k.a. Charles Schwab Field, a.k.a. TD Ameritrade, a.k.a. Omaha, where the College World Series is played. And they are very, very solid at home. 17-4. Nebraska's been 11-5 this year on the road. But their pitching outside the weekends hasn't been strong. 6.52 midweek ERA. Creighton looked very good last midweek against Coastal Carolina. They swept the two games against the Chanticleers last Tuesday and Wednesday. And their pitching staff has it figured out in the midweeks. 4.15 ERA during the midweek games, 8.87 team OPS, 1.16 WRC plus. That's even a little bit better than Nebraska's 8.43 OPS, 1.06 WRC plus. Creighton at plus 114 is going to be a play for me here on Tuesday. Nebraska's minus 145. So I'm going on the Blue Jays there. Then this one is also going to be a pick for me. I love Illinois tomorrow. They're hosting Indiana State. You can get the Fighting Illini at plus 130. And the reason why I'm on Illinois here, they're 18-3 at home, first off. Indiana State 16-8 on the road, but their pitching's been pitiful in the midweek. 7.93 team ERA. Illinois 3.57 midweek ERA as a team. And this game means just so much more for Illinois because they do not have the at large case currently. A game against the top 10 RPI team in Indiana State would help their case a ton. And winning this game would help even more. Indiana State, of course, doesn't want to lose this game either because they're trying to, one, host for the second straight year, but two, if they can somehow sneak into the top eight, that would be huge to be a national seed and have a chance to host the Super Regional if they advance to the second round. But I think Illinois, they've been better in the midweek on the mound than Indiana State. And also, their offense has been very solid this season, especially in Big Ten play as well. They're coming off a weekend loss. They lost the series to Maryland. That was their first series loss in Big Ten play this season. They were on the road in College Park, returning home a little pissed off. I think the Fighting Illini win, and their offense has been a little bit better than the Sycamores on paper this season. 921 team OPS compared to Indiana State's 889 OPS and a 113 WRC plus for the six. Fighting Illini 119. So, yeah, I love Illinois catching plus money at home. I'm not going to pass that up. A power conference team at home catching plus money against mid-major. And that's not the only reason. I explained my entire feeling, but yeah. Illinois at home plus money. I'll take it. The next game here, this one's a little crazy. I'm not willing to lay the minus 315 on Oklahoma State in the midweek. They're hosting Wichita State. I don't think the Shockers are able to win this game, though, but I don't even think this is worth putting into a parlay. Also, this one's an interesting one. Oklahoma's minus 280 on the road at Oral Roberts, who's plus 210, but they suck this year. They've been brutal. They're one of the worst teams in the country. Last year, they go to Omaha, and this year, they're in last place in the Summit League. Before we get to the rest of the Tuesday slate and finish up this show, let me talk to you about Underdog Fantasy, because the NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor wants to make it a lot more interesting for you guys, the players, and myself, too. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. You can make entries of all basketball plays or mix and match across your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog Fantasy is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Personally, I was writing nightly articles for the college basketball experience during the season, hitting at 62%, so it was extremely fun. Last year, they had Underdog player projections for the College World Series. We're hoping that they bring those back again this year. New customers can get a special pick'em in the lobby when they sign up for the first time. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They also just launched their Champions, which it's a player-versus-player format, and that's in Florida, live in Florida currently. They just launched it. So make sure you sign up with code TCESGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code TCESGPN. All right, we're back here on the College Baseball Experience. Yvette has shown up in the YouTube chat here. She goes, UNC parlay piece, woo! And she loves PNC Park as well. I mean, how can you not? That place is beautiful. And as soon as I get out of the city of Pittsburgh, Andrew McCutchen, one of my favorite players growing up, goes back. That blows, but I mean, it's great to see him in the black and gold again, playing in PNC Park. We move on to another black and gold team here, New Orleans on the road at Southern Miss. This is another one that is not cheap enough to play as a single. Southern Miss is minus 245 here, New Orleans plus 185. But again, I'm not on the privateers, and also I don't want any action on that Southern Miss price. So we zoom past that to a game that, this price is a little bit large on Washington as they host Gonzaga here. The Huskies are minus 180, Gonzaga plus 140. Another really fun in-state matchup. But Gonzaga's offense is putrid. Washington's isn't much better. So when we're handicapping mostly offense in the midweek games, it's hard with these two teams. Washington 10-8 at home this year. Gonzaga on the road is 6-20. Yes, they scheduled extremely tough in the non-conference, but they have trouble winning away from home. That was kind of the largest factor for me in this game. The other one, the midweek ERA from Gonzaga, like I said, they scheduled tough in the non-conference. It's an 8.57 midweek ERA. Washington's is only it's a three flat ERA for the team in the midweek games. But I think that's enough for me to side with Washington. But I'm not putting my money on that offense there. We move to Sam Houston at Texas, which is a really interesting game. Last week, Texas got blown out of the water by UT Rio Grande. It was like 10-0 in three innings. Again, Texas minus 240 here. Sam Houston plus 180. On paper, you'd go, let's jump all over the Bearcats, because the Mexicans last week, as we called them on the College Basketball Experience the entire year, Mexicans of UTRGV destroyed Texas. However, Sam Houston has not been the same offense that we've come to know them as. Plus, they're 7-12 on the road this year. Texas 8-13 or 18-13 at home at Dish. So their offense has been better on paper. Plus, they're able to piece together that bullpen. The bullpen's, I mean, they've got crazy talent back there. They haven't been consistent. Texas 918 team OPS, 116 WRC plus, 396 midweek ERA. Sam Houston 824 team OPS, 100 WRC plus, 465 midweek ERA. For the picks page, I'm taking Sam Houston, but I'm not going to have any money on that one. Now let's talk about Southeastern Louisiana at Tulane. Another fun regional battle, in-state matchup here between the Lions and Green Wave. Sela 820 team OPS, 99 WRC plus, just below average in the NCAA, 522 midweek ERA, 6-11 on the road this season. Tulane 866 team OPS, 108 WRC plus, 628 midweek ERA. Again, not too much separating the two teams here. We don't know the starting pitchers either. But I think that Sela is going to be a little bit more motivated in this game than Tulane is. And when I can't really separate the two on paper by too much, I'm going to take that plus price with the Lions at plus 145. The next game is UT Arlington at Baylor, and it's kind of a similar handicap as the last one that we just did. As UTA 724 team OPS, Baylor only has a 785. UTA is 10-15 on the road, so again, not too great. Baylor 14-13 at home though, so like just above 500. So it's not really like crazy to back with the Bears there. So both offenses below average in D1. UTA 80 WRC plus, Baylor 13% better at 93. So again, I'm going with the plus money there, and we'll move on. I'm not going to have anything on that game. We've got five more games to go here on this Tuesday slate, games that are bettable. Again, these are not every game that are being played in college baseball on Tuesday, but they are some of the most notable ones. This one's another fun one. Grand Canyon at Arizona. The Lopes always get up for these Arizona schools. As 2 years ago, Arizona State pissed them off, you know, by just basically saying that we'll be able to walk in there and sweep them. And Grand Canyon swept the Sun Devils. And it's basically created an attitude around this Grand Canyon Lopes program for the last couple of years that they punch up very well. Even though they're not having their greatest season, they've had better years in the past. This season, they have done pretty well against high major competition. They are plus 154 here against Arizona, minus 200. We do have David Mottola in the chat, who's a big Wildcats fan. He's going to like to hear that the two teams, I don't really have much separating the two, but Arizona's pitching staff has been very good this season. That's what gives them the edge here for me in this matchup. The offense is very similar. Grand Canyon 104 WRC plus, Arizona 98. The two teams OPS wise, the Lopes 851, Arizona 818. The thing that does it to me is Arizona's been 2.5 runs better on the mound in the midweek games. 4.27 ERA in the midweek. Grand Canyon has a 6.65, and Arizona's been solid at home this year. So 15-6. We're checking the YouTube chat. David Mottola goes, the Mexicans play good baseball. Baseball. Fucking love it. I played with a shitload of Hispanics in college, and I was able to pick up that accent pretty well. It's expiring on me. It's been about 2.5 years since I've been on campus, I think. 2 years. Not quite 2 years. Wow. I'm trying to age myself. I'm only 23, not even, again, trying to age myself. David Mottola goes, the only two schools in the state that matter. That's great. Shot to the Sun Devils there. Yeah, I'm going to be on the Wildcats, though. No bet here, minus 200. It's just too rich for my blood. Another super, super fun game. Right after that backyard brawl in Pittsburgh at PNC Park, tune in to Oregon State at Oregon. This is at PK Park. So these two teams played in a weekend series literally this weekend. Oregon State wins the first two games on Friday and Saturday. Oregon comes back, almost throws a no-hitter on Sunday to win the game. I imagine that Oregon State should be up for this to want to bounce back after almost getting no hit. They do have the better pitcher on the mound in Jaron Hunter. Oregon State has really good starting pitching depth. He's been their fourth starter all season long, and they've been solid in the midweeks. However, they've hosted most of their midweek games. They're 5-8 on the road this season, which isn't great. Oregon 18-7. The crowd's going to be ballistic. They've really revived that fan base, or that baseball fan base, I should say, here with the Ducks. Everything on paper says Oregon State should be a play. However, I can't bet on the Beavers with the bad road record. And also, this is the one Oregon game, or the one game that Oregon gets at home against the Beavers this year. So I think they'll also be trying to, they've had this game circled on their calendar. They're going to want to get up in front of the home crowd and take down the Beavers and even up the season series. Three games to go here. the last three all taking place on the West Coast. UC Irvine at San Diego is another very, very fun game. San Diego currently would have an at-large bid right now. UC Irvine fighting for a host spot in this year's NCAA tournament picture. The Anteaters on the road are minus 125. The Toreros, minus 105 at home. And UCI on the road this year, 15-4. And San Diego, 12-3 at home. The thing that does it for me and taking the Toreros here, the team has a 350 midweek ERA compared to the Anteaters, 769. On paper, the offense for UC Irvine's a bit better. However, not exponentially like that pitching. At the plate, UC Irvine, 920 OPS as a team, 123 WRC plus. San Diego, 878 with a 103. Again, I'm on San Diego here, minus 105 as the slight dog. That one's going to probably close the other way, if you ask me. Santa Clara at Stanford, the Cardinal, minus 180. The Broncos, is the Broncos or I think it's the Broncos. It's either the Bronx or the Broncos. I get them and Ryder confused for some reason. Two complete opposite sides of the country. Santa Clara plus 145, though. Santa Clara, their offense has not been great. Below average in the country. 91 WRC plus, 776 OPS, 501 midweek ERA, and they're 6-11 on the road. Stanford, they're 500 at home this year. Not great. But David Esker's team has been playing a little bit better as of late. 842 team OPS, 103 WRC plus. I think their offense is going to be able to get the job done here against the Broncos. And we move to the last game of the day, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Arizona State's hosting UC San Diego. The Tritons are plus 124. The Sun Devils minus 160. This is going to be a bet for me on Arizona State, with they, one, have been much better offensively this year than UCSD, with a 860 OPS, 106 WRC plus, UCSD, 786 team OPS, 95 WRC plus. They're 6-4 on the road, which isn't bad. Arizona State, 14-11 at home, which isn't amazing. However, with the good offense that the Sun Devils have, and their pitching has actually not been terrible in the midweek, 538 midweek ERA compared to the Tritons, 883. I'm willing to put the money on the minus 160 here with Arizona State, and that's going to wrap up this slate. Danny Dumbshit in the chat on YouTube right now, he goes, WCC and MAAC mentions on the College Baseball Experience with some sirens going next to it. And he also says Big West sent to slaughter. I love the Big West. I really do. I think I faded a couple of their teams on this show specifically, but this year I think it's like, it's not tremendous at the top, but it's deep and it's been beating itself up. So I don't know if they'll be able to get three bids, but they should be able to get two, UC Irvine and UC Santa Barbara. Like I said, that wraps up today's show. Nathan Fisher said he likes he likes Cincinnati over the Buckeyes in the midweek. I also went with Cincinnati. I don't love that pick personally, but hey, I mean, Cincinnati's got the little brother attitude going into Columbus, and they've got the much better pitching staff. So they've got a puncher's chance in that one for sure. So let's recap the locks here for myself. We're starting off with UNCW plus 165 on the road at NC State. I have money on that. I'm also playing Pepperdine plus 180 as they host UCLA. Also Creighton plus 114 at home against Nebraska, Illinois plus 130 at home against Indiana State. And then Arizona State minus 160 at home against UC San Diego. Those are five locks that I have for the Tuesday slate. Oh, Nathan Fisher's a Cincinnati fan. He goes, "We got a great offense." I love it. I love your coach. For what it's worth, Bischel's my guy. that does it here on the first midweek show of the year for the College Baseball Experience. Again, as we get further into the season, I'm going to start paying a lot more attention to midweek handicaps, because as you may know, the fourth game of the week, aka, I mean, you're playing sometimes four or five games in NCAA tournament regionals. You have to know who's got better fourth starters. You have to know who's got the better pitching depth. But the offenses are pretty easy to handicap for these midweek games. He goes, isn't it funny? We stole three coaches from them. It's great. He's the right guy for the job, and I think he's going places. I think he's going to be a Big Ten coach. If not a Big Ten, he'll be even higher up, Big 12 or SEC. I think he's a tremendous, tremendous program builder. And, yeah, he's saying Jones, Fickell, and Bischel. But, yeah, that does it for today's podcast. You've been listening to College Baseball Experience. You better start thinking about yours. Adios, amigos.